Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of In The Post, a new podcast that we've been doing. This is episode 2. We're going to be talking about what's happening in the draft. On my right,
Joe.
On my left,
I'm Sam.
Okay, so we'll go right into it.
Let's delve in.
Excellent. Okay, number one pick for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Don't play that music.
Karl Anthony Towns.
Great. As expected, it was going to be a toss-up between him and Jahlil Okafor. But it looks like Minnesota got their man. He's been posting on Instagram lately how excited he is. He got some welcoming packages. He got as well, you could see him in the gym last night. He posted an Instagram picture. And his picture actually said, playoff basketball begins now. Well, it starts now. So
he needs to play with that intensity, definitely.
Well, especially with the surrounding cast now, he's got a future in Minnesota, which looks like it's got a potential to develop further and further. The guy going into the draft was strong, like, his college numbers didn't really do him justice, averaging 10, 6 and 1. So it wasn't a high number, but it was quite a stacked college team as well. But
if you looked, it was more team ball, wasn't it? So they all shared.
Yeah, they all shared the ball. His mid-range game decent, but obviously on the odd occasion you can take it out to a three-point line. But good prospects, and obviously as a centre he's also got KG as a mentor as well.
That's going to be big for him.
Yeah.
Joe, you tell me about how do you think he's going to fit in with Wiggins and the Timberwolves in general.
I think this is the first time I've seen the Timberwolves actually looking to give it a go. The past two best draft picks they've had, Kevin Love and Kevin Garnett, they both seem to have tried to think they can do it on their own.
That's enough. Yeah, that's enough.
And then maybe if they added, like, Stephen Marbury was there when Kevin Garnett was there, I believe.
And Latrell Sprewell.
Yeah, so they didn't have a great surrounding cast.
They had a couple of pieces. Yeah. A bit like what the Kings are doing with Boogie at the moment, really.
Yeah, they've talked about that. And now they've got Wiggins and Towns. I think that's going to be the building blocks to a contending team in the next 5 years, maybe. Maybe not this year, just because of the youth. But when they're learning.
Absolutely.
Well, it looks like Timberwolves are learning from their mistakes as well.
They have to.
By Kevin Garnett moving on to get a championship, Kevin Love moving on to go into to develop and be more successful, get to the finals. It's showing that the prospects that Minnesota are bringing in are great talents, but it's just bringing the pieces around them to keep them to stay there.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't got a big market area. You don't dream about playing for Minnesota, but that as long as they've got a good core, it makes it better to stay, you know. Years and years ago, when Oscar Robertson and Kareem were at Milwaukee might not be New York, but people wanted to play there, I'm guessing, back then. Yeah. So I don't think it's a problem. I mean, Rubio's only still 24. He's still got plenty of time to develop. He's still got a half-decent defence, needs to work on that shooting, but he's got the passing too. So they've got Rubio, they'll keep Pekovic, they've got Garnett, and now they've got Towns. So there's a big man rotation.
Yep.
Pretty good. How many wins will Towns give them this year? How far? Because Wiggins did definitely add to them, the Timberwolves last year, and Parker helped the Bucks until he got injured. How many wins and whereabouts will the Timberwolves finish? I know they've still got free agency.
They've still got a long time to develop, but I don't see them being one of the early picks, like the first, second, third round pick next season. I can see them doing well, but obviously, again, they won't make the playoffs, but I believe they'll be possibly a 30 to 35 win team.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Sort of maybe towards the end, battling like they did about 2-3 seasons
ago. They go on a run as other teams start playing the tactics.
The youth in the team could play a factor in the stamina and fatigue towards the end of the season.
And them learning about the league, so they'll get better as it goes on. I definitely agree with that. They finished with 16-66, their record last year. I think they'll get 30 wins. They'll get 30 wins.
Well, Pekovic missed most of last season as well. And Rubio.
I think maybe they'll get... It's just the West is very, very hard and free agency's still got a while to go. If I have to make a pick now, I'm going to say 34 wins.
Yeah, but
so much, much better than last year, over double. Moving on.
Can I just go back to that, because we've got about the Garnett and the Towns.
Oh yeah, this is a nice little number. Go on, you tell.
No, you go on. You found out.
Very massive. Yeah. It was a message that I actually saw on Twitter. Kevin Garnett, NBA debut, November 3rd, 1995. Karl Anthony Towns was born November 15th, 1995. So 12 days later, after Kevin Garnett's debut, Towns was born, and now they're teammates. So that's pretty mad.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same as Kawhi Leonard when Tim Duncan won his first MVP. He was 8 years old.
Yeah, but born at 8 years old it's impressive. But I don't think there's anything been like this before, as far as number one picks go and everything. Yeah. He's been compared to Bogut. That's his NBA comparison. I always like to see that, but we'll see how he goes. Number two, the LA Lakers, D'Angelo Russell.
I think he's a good pick, to be honest. Byron Scott has said that he believes that Okafor will be a good player, but Russell's going to be a superstar. And I've even got a quote here from Byron Scott, and said about when he played 3-on-3 with the Lakers in practice before the draft. He said, "The way he commanded guys to do certain things, the last guy to do that whom I played with was Irving," speaking of Magic Johnson. And then he also said about when he's coaching Chris Paul at the Hornets, then it would have been the New Orleans Hornets. He said, like Chris Paul, when he was 19, 20 years old, I think he's on that level. So
he thinks he's going to be the next Chris Paul.
Yeah. So that's all. And at 6'5" as well, Chris Paul's only 6 foot. That's going to have a lot of length, good defense maybe.
That's very crazy, because the two names that he's mentioned, Chris Paul, probably the best point guard in the NBA at the moment, and Magic, the best point guard of all time that we've had so far. So Byron Scott, I mean, whether his opinion is right or not.
Yeah.
I think as far as Okafor goes, not picking him, they clearly are thinking Boogie in their head.
Yeah.
They're not getting Boogie unless they trade Russell, which isn't going to happen. D'Angelo Russell does stop them going in for Rondo, though.
Yeah, but at the moment, I've got cramp.
You've got cramp.
I've got cramp, but on a different matter, with D'Angelo Russell, he's 6'5", as you're saying, but also a 6'9" wingspan, so he'll be able to get into the lanes, prevent some passing, but he's one of those high reward, high risk players.
Yeah.
He seems to be compared to James Harden, but he's also floor is Michael Beasley.
Oh,
so okay. He's one of those players that you can either, if you put him in the right team, the right mentality and the right surroundings, he might succeed, but...
Well, if he walks into the training camp and there's these banners all around him, that should...
It might motivate him, but at the same time, at his college team, he had one of the highest usage rates in college.
If Kobe thinks this guy is good and wants to make him good, he can help. But if Kobe sees him as almost like a threat and goes, I'm still the number one guy, it might hurt his development for at least his next 2 years until Kobe retires. I think he's a good pick, and I can understand picking him ahead of Okafor, because I've heard criticisms about Okafor. I haven't seen him play. I haven't watched any of the college ball, but they say his lack of defence is worrying. I've heard anything bad saying about Russell, so...
Yeah, I haven't really heard anything. I know that he's at the Lakers, so Byron Scott's going to want to boost his confidence by saying these things, but saying these things, that's one of the best compliments you can get, really, saying about Chris Paul and Magic Johnson. I don't know...
He believes it. Obviously, wouldn't have drafted him.
Yeah.
It's not just a thing he was saying. Moving on. The 76ers. They don't like people under 7 feet, clearly.
Yeah.
They've, past 3 years, drafted Nerlens Noel at number 3.
It was traded.
Number 6. Oh, yeah, it went down. Okay, Joel Embiid was number 3.
Yeah.
And Jahlil Okafor was number 3. They've got a very... Well, they've got a very big man rotation there.
Yeah.
And they've even come out and said that they're not going to actually trade Okafor, but saying that and it's doing it. But if they're going to do that, maybe I think this season they're going to try out Noel and Okafor and see how that goes, with Embiid not playing, or supposedly not playing for most of the season. See how that goes, and then maybe for the end of the season or mid-season, look at trading one of the three.
And yeah, absolutely.
And then that could open up a guard, maybe a forward.
Oh, you should never trade a big for a small. That's the old famous NBA saying, but they would have to do it. I think Okafor and Noel makes sense. You've got the offense and the defense together. Or Embiid and Noel. I think that Noel's staying because he is the defence and it sounds like Embiid and Okafor are the more offensive-minded players. Have they given up on Embiid? We've heard things on the net and rumours that his attitude is a problem, his dedication, his injuries. Have they given up on him?
Absolutely not. Basically, I'm on the same side as Joe here. I believe that Philly's going to try out the different rotations and try out how they're all going to work together. And for one that doesn't work, then they'll trade off. But the saying is, at the draft, you trade, you get the best player available. So they've done exactly that at third. They've got the best player at that time.
That's what they did. He was the... If you were starting, like our franchise game, if you were starting a franchise out of any of them players, he would be the pick that you chose.
Yeah.
So I can understand it. So, looking good for the Sixers' future. They've definitely got a good big man out of the three. One of the three's got to be a good big man. Good.
Good odds, anyway.
So, going from good to the bad, well, like the little segue there.
Good to the bad, don't know if he's bad yet.
Might be ugly. In
no, the ugly part was the disrespects. Knicks fans at number four, picking... they picked Porzingis. Latvian, I believe, played for Seville in the Spanish Basketball League. They booed him. They booed him hard. A 19-year-old who can flat out shoot, if anyone's looked at his training and his workouts. This guy, he hits net every time. No room, he's a good shooter, and they booed him hard.
I think the Knicks, because of their trouble getting Bargnani, and they're maybe comparing him to him when they should be doing that this early, they're already thinking a European tool can't shoot. Oh no, he can shoot, but he can't rebound. Maybe that's there. And the fact he's quite skinny as well. Maybe they're not looking that he's a 19-year-old. I think they're looking at it like he's a 25-year-old who should be playing amazing right now. But that's why I think they're looking for success straight away, which ain't going to happen for the Knicks.
Who else has left? Okafor got picked, Towns got picked, Russell got picked. The rest of the players, there's a little gulf in talent from the other three. And this could be a high reward. I mean, he's been compared to Powell and Dirk.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a similar build to Dirk and he has a similar shot to Dirk. I mean, if he gets anywhere close to him, they're going to be cheering him very quickly. But then there's the Darko comparisons as well. Where do you think he's going to go?
I think... They gave up too early with Porzingis. Like, they were sort of sold as soon as he was drafted. I was like, oh, this could be another tragedy. They've not really seen it in the sense of, oh, European success. There's not been that much in the league. And obviously, coming off a season with Bargnani, they're looking at it like, oh, this is it for us. Is this what Phil Jackson's organisation is running for us? Because obviously, you had different options ahead of him. You had Justice Winslow could have been taken. You could have had a lot. You could have had more added to it, but they chose a big risk in Porzingis. But I think he's going to pay off for him.
I think he is. It was probably a bigger risk. Like, they could have went a bit safer, but they want to get superstars to win the championship, and so they had to take that risk. It's a bit difficult once you've got a fourth pick to kind of get that superstar. So I actually agree with the decision. I think it's good.
No, I completely agree. The only thing I just want to see is a bit more bulking up from him.
He's 19, isn't he?
No, he's 19, but if he's going to be playing for 4 or 5, you're going to be looking at he's going against 240-250 pounders.
I think he's going to be a 7'1" 4. He's 7'1", but I think he's going to be a 4. At his build, no matter how big he can get, he's still not going to be able to beat people like Al Jefferson in defence. So he's going to be a stretch 4. He's going to be a bit like Kevin Love, I think. Needs to work on that rebounding. But I think you've got to give him a chance. When you're 19 years old, he'll be all right. He'll get your points.
Yeah.
Now, 5-9, they were all kind of like fair enough picks. Everyone kind of expected the way they went. Then Heat got apparently a bit of a steal. A player called Justice Winslow.
Justice.
Being compared to Kawhi Leonard. Everyone says this is a classic Pat Riley, bit of luck steal, of a bit of a gem.
Well, that's who Boston wanted to go for. Boston was going to throw a handful of Brooklyn picks to Charlotte to get the 9th pick. But obviously, Charlotte was sold on Frank Kaminsky, which prevented us from drafting Justice Winslow. So I'm pretty gutted on that, but at the same time I'm happy with who Boston drafted as a team. But he'd done well with that. Justice at the three, Wade at the two, and Dragic at the one. They've actually got a solid starting lineup there.
Yeah, so, same thing as Sam, really. So, especially the defence. That rotation between him and Deng is going to be good defence if they're saying he's going to be a player like Kawhi Leonard.
And Deng hasn't been quite as impactful as he was since he's left the Bulls. So it'd be a good
time. He's getting older, and with the Bulls, he had a lot of friends and there's a lot of chemistry with the Bulls. Whereas now he's getting older, because he's been shipped to a few teams, it's like you've got to earn that chemistry through playing loads of games, which he's had one sort of season, and now we've got this new guy. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a good Heat season now they've got this Winslow.
I've just been, you know, hearing the hype, but the hype sounds like that is a very good draft pick at number 10. Because at number 10 you can get some bad players. You can get some good, but you can get some bad ones too. Now, you mentioned Boston guards and the rotation. You're the opposite of the 76ers at the moment. They love their bigs, you love your guards. You've got about 6 or 7 guards now on the books. What is Danny Ainge's big plan?
Danny Ainge, he's keeping the cap space free. He's going to make a splashy big agent, in free agency for a big guy. You've got Avery Bradley came off a good season and his contract holds value now at $7 million a year. So he's going to look at swinging that as well as maybe another guard as well. Also, we've had the emergence of James Young development. He's apparently put on a lot of muscle mass, and his games in the D League were impressive as well. So I think Boston's going to look to trade Avery Bradley and possibly move Jared Sullinger or Kelly Olynyk, which I wouldn't be too disappointed.
I've heard they're open to trading Marcus Smart as long as they get something good for him back.
I think that was just a smokescreen.
It's very strange, the Celtics, because they've got all these picks, but they're not really picking any one that they think they're going to take them to the next level, just all very good guards.
Well, it's the same as for Sixers. They've drafted the best player they felt was the best player available. That's why they took Terry Rozier.
Well, if you were Danny Ainge in the Celtics, what would your rotation be, and who would you trade, and what would you look to do?
Well, I think, saying the opposite of the 76ers, they've got to get a good defensive big. I mean, they've got scorers in their guards, Isaiah Thomas especially, creating his own shots and stuff. But yeah, I'll definitely look towards a power forward or a big. I mean, they're looking for Greg Monroe, but he's not good enough defensively, I believe.
I don't think he is, but I think he's been playing the four, so he's chasing for Durant's of the league, for Melo's of the league. He's trying to guard the both ways, really.
Him and Drummond have been getting in each other's way. They don't seem to be fully comfortable playing with each other, Greg Monroe and Drummond. So I think when Monroe goes to wherever he goes, he will be better and he will relish that opportunity. So you're saying they'll do the same as the Sixers, test them out for a year, find what's the best rotation, then decide what they're going to do with that team. So next year they're not worrying about playoffs.
Because of their guards, Bradley, Smart and Thomas, I mean, that's a good rotation they've got. I know they've sort of had maybe a few more players, but I think that's the best rotation at the moment. Is, I think, starting Isaiah Thomas at point guard or playing more minutes down to start. Yeah. Obviously, last season he was more of a sixth man. But yeah, and I think that'll be the best option for them. But yeah, I think they just got to get some bigger players, because I know everyone's saying that it's going to be NBA's becoming a small ball league.
They played a lot of three guard lineup last year.
Yeah.
Celtics.
But I still believe that you need a big, good rebounder who can protect the rim, because most of the points come in the paint in the NBA. So you've got to have someone who can stop that.
Absolutely. So I think what they should do, you heard it here first, both going to give it a year. Next year, maybe Avery Bradley in some picks for one of the 76ers bigs.
I think that happens earlier on the season. I think that happens before deadline.
Before
trade deadline, I think Avery Bradley and Brooklyn's pick next year goes to Noel.
Well, they're both building at the same time, so it would make sense that they could sort of help each other out almost. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Especially in the 76ers, if Embiid's injury that he's got takes quite quickly, and then they can get him in as soon as they can, see him, how he is with the rotation. And then if they can do that for a solid maybe like a month or two before the trade deadline, then I think it will happen mid-season sometime.
Yeah. Embiid needs, so it's all dependent on Embiid's health, which is never a good sign by the looks of it, what we know so far. One thing I wanted to talk about, my Mavs, we drafted a player called Justin Anderson. 6'6", NBA body ready, good defensively, shot 45% from three-point range last year. That is one who I want to talk about. Our number 52 pick, very topical, Satnam Singh Bamara. Satnam Singh Bamara, 7'2" at 19, first ever Indian player to be drafted in the NBA. Now he's been picked because he could have an upside. He's 7'2". He's massive. He looks like he wants to, you know, become a good NBA player. What I've seen in interviews and things. It's quite funny that he's got the same agent as DeAndre Jordan, though.
No, I think he's just clutching at straws, to be honest.
Clutching at straws, yeah. Are you sure? What about the marketing and getting a lot of jersey sales in India?
A lot of jersey sales in India, but at the same time, I'm the same with Joe. It is just, it's coincidence.
I think there's a lot of agent back scratching. I think he's a good player. Maybe he's young. He has a high upside. He's 7'2". You can't teach 7 feet. But, you know, if the agent says you pick him, I'll put in a good word. They're going to take every little inch of opportunity they can get to get DeAndre Jordan this year. We all know that. So I think it's going to happen. I think DeAndre Jordan will leave. Apparently he's going to be looking at the Lakers, Clippers, Bucks and Mavs, possibly Knicks, but a lot of things came out today just saying it's really a two-horse race, the Clippers or the Mavs.
Yeah, I think he's staying.
I think he stays at the Clippers.
Yeah.
He's staying?
I think the Clippers, if he wants to get a championship in the coming seasons, I think his best option would be the Clippers, just because of the youth in Griffin and Chris Paul's still 30, but he's not. He's still playing his best basketball.
True, but maybe he's... I mean, there was that talk about him and Chris Paul not getting on that well. DJ is from Texas. He's got a home in Houston. I think as far as a chance of him leaving, there's more chance of him staying at the Clippers. I personally, if I was him, looking at seeing as there's not that many people actually contracted to the Mavs next year, and the Clippers have done better every year since we won the championship. Done better than us. I'd be more inclined to say they want to give him the max. Doc Rivers loves him. Yeah, when you've got a coach that loves you and wants to work with you, you should stay. But obviously, I'm not going to say that. I want him to go to the Mavericks. He will become a big deal. I mean, he's a Jerry Jones and Dez Bryant, who is a big fan of the old Dez Bryant, they're helping with the pitch. If he's a big Cowboys fan and they say, look, we're going to come out and you can, you know, can come on the Cowboys playing to games and things, it might sway him. Parsons is helping with the pitch as well. He's very confident of recruiting him and his recruiting abilities. Past few years, the Mavericks haven't done that well with free agency. We've lost on Melo, we've lost on LeBron, Dwight, Deron Williams, all that nonsense. But I think out of all of these players, we have the best and most realistic chance of getting him out of all the others. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, okay. Also, obviously, going after LaMarcus Aldridge, and that's going to go moving on to our franchise game. Last episode, we did this. I'm going to give Sam and Joe two different players, and they have to decide which one they would have to start their franchise with out the two. So, LaMarcus Aldridge or DeAndre Jordan, if they are both 21 years old, just come out of the draft, who would you pick?
For me, I'm picking Aldridge. He's got a career of nearly 20 points per game, 8.4 rebounds per game, one block a game. It's not a lot, but that's over a career that obviously wouldn't have played as many minutes as he was younger. Good three-throw shooter, which is always important. Good field goal percentage. He's took the Portland Trailblazers to the playoffs 5 out of 9 times, which is good, especially as that's before Lillard, one of the better point guards of the NBA at the moment. And he's also been an All-Star 4 times. And that was the past 4 seasons as well. So maybe that's Lillard helping him out a bit. But I would take Aldridge just because he is Portland's star man, whereas DeAndre at the moment He's the third behind Chris Paul and Blake Griffin.
Okay, very good case. How are you going to top it, Sam?
I'm going to go with DeAndre Jordan, a guy who averaged 11-15 last season with two blocks. Not bad being the third option with 11 points. Yeah, some of them came from the free throw line. But at the same time, he's a great rim protector. And it's more of, the stats don't do him justice, it's more of an eye test. So you can see the movement between Blake, you can see the movement between DeAndre, and they cover the floor well. They work together as a good unit. So having a centre that influences like that, it will be a great benefit to a team. And also you can draw a comparison to Bill Russell. His offensive game wasn't fantastic, but his defensive rebounding, his outlet passing, running the fast breaks, that's all you need really in a team. That's how Bill Russell won his championships, fast break and rebounds.
Okay, good cases. Now I'm going to add in an extra little bit that we didn't do last episode. I want you to talk about why the other person shouldn't get the pick. So I want you to knock down why DeAndre Jordan shouldn't get your pick.
Well, like in my case, I mentioned free throw percentage. We know that DJ's not a good free throw shooter. And we know that he's the third man. Would he be able to get to the playoffs like the Clippers have the past few seasons with even one star man? I don't think that would happen. Because they've got Blake and Chris Paul, it helps him out a lot. And we know he gets 10 points from dunks and free throws. But again, is he going to get them dunks if Chris Paul or an elite point guard isn't be able to throw up the alley-oops? That's my point.
Okay, then you have to shoot down why LaMarcus Aldridge wouldn't get my draft pick.
Well, I wouldn't get your draft pick. LaMarcus Aldridge, just not fantastic on defence, gets drawn away from the basket too easily. And personally, I just don't think of him as an elite power forward in this league. I don't think of him as fantastic. I see him as top five, but I don't see him as fantastic. That's not a great point, but I know that LaMarcus is better than DeAndre, but if I'm taking defence over anything, I can build an offence easily. But coming across a defence, I'll take DeAndre 10 times out of 10 over LaMarcus.
Okay, you kind of like clawed it back a little bit. I nearly gave it to Joe. I understand that given you want to build, when you're building a franchise, defence is obviously important. Once you have him in the post, you have no worries sort of defensively about that. You can focus on everything else. But I think out of the points, Joe did actually make better arguments. So Joe's going to get the points this week. Sorry. Right.
Should I go?
Yeah, you won, so you throw us our arguments.
We spoke about him a lot yesterday, or a few days ago in our last episode, because of the they could be traded, but who would you pick, Kevin Love or DeMarcus Cousins?
Four. Do you want to go first?
I don't mind. DeMarcus Cousins, the best centre in the NBA right at this moment in time. You can't disagree with that. Who's better than him right this moment in time? Tell me who is better.
I would be tempted to pick DJ ahead of him.
You'd pick DJ 11 and 15 over 24 and 12.
I think DJ has that better defensively and... Go on, and do your case.
Offensive repertoire, DeMarcus is so much better in the sense of post moves. Yeah, Kevin Love can post fade away, but DeMarcus as well is a much better person to defend the rim than Kevin Love. If he can cover the lanes, he can come out and mark the line. Just a better defensive person, and he's got a great offensive game to balance that out as well.
Okay. Guess it's my go. I'd pick Kevin Love, so this works quite well. He averaged 26 points when he was at the Timberwolves before he left to the Cavs and they wasn't utilised properly. He got 26.5 points per game. Also, he got 12.5 rebounds from the power forward position, not the centre position. He already established that he can take a very, very poor side to 500 in the West, something that Boogie Cousins is struggling to do. He'll be able to out-rebound anyone. He's still got fast. He's got great passing. He's got outlet passing and everything like that, so he's not a selfish big. And even at the Cavs, he's actually proved that he won't necessarily demand the ball all the time, and he can actually be able to buy in any situation, even if he's struggling in it. He's still prepared and not moan.
He does moan. He says he's unhappy.
He says he wants the ball more, but he hasn't requested a trade or definitely leaving a free agency. He wants to stay at the Cavs. He wants to earn his place. And Adam Moners, if we're going to go into weaknesses now, Boogie Cousins isn't exactly the most best role model in the world for a franchise.
Last season, did you see with Mike Malone, when Mike Malone got too carried away, DeMarcus kept his composure, pulled him away because he was showing how he's maturing as a player.
I think he's led the league in techs for the past like 3 years, hasn't he, since he's been in the league? I don't know for sure that stat, but I'm not pretty sure it's hard. Boogie Cousins, he's undersized for his centre, I would say. He, although he gets his points in offence, Kevin Love, I would say, gets more. And defensively, they're just as probably bad as each other. But because Kevin Love is a power forward as opposed to a centre, it's less exposed. Do you want to shoot down Kevin Love?
Well, I think with Kevin Love as well, it just shows last season that he can't fit into a different system unless he's the first person. If you're drafting him as a main person, but you're trying to find pieces around him, all you need to do is, the opposition needs to draft a power forward that's just going to shut him down. Then your team's screwed, because Kevin Love is not happy being a second or a third option, and he's not as productive being that person.
He is as productive, but I would blame coaching, Coach LeBron, ahead of that. But I like this argument. This is a good game.
Yeah.
What's your decision?
I think I'll go with Sam. On this one.
I thought I won that one.
No.
I thought Sam was going to be 0-2.
I know a lot
two.
Of the argument is that DeMarcus Cousins is a bit moany and gets his text, but this season, like Sam said, he's been much better at that. And I think that's just maturing. Not even people saying calm down. I think he's just getting older and wiser, and I believe that.
I think he is, but I don't think he's as mature as Kevin Love.
No, he's not. But he is getting maturer as it goes along. And I think he understands that sooner or later, he's going to have to be more of a team player.
Okay, I'm not one to argue. You're the final say. You are the final say.
All right.
Okay.
Finally, for me, I'm going to give you Kareem or Hakeem.
Okay, well, I'll go first because I went second last time. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Most All-Stars out of any player. 19, I believe. So 19 years he's been an All-Star. Highest scorer in NBA history, unstoppable on offense, still decent on defense. He was never bad on defense. Immense longevity. Played for three. He won a championship in three different decades. You know, wherever he goes, he wins. That's my argument.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we mentioned All-Star appearances. 19. Hakeem has got 12. So, you know, not too shabby. And he won an MVP in probably the best talent era of basketball we've known. I know Jordan was out at the time, but Barkley, you've got Malone.
Ewing.
You've got Dominic Wilkins. You've got
Derek Harper.
Muggsy Bogues.
You've got one amazing group of basketball players in that the late 80s, 90s era. He did win two championships. Again, asterisk, Michael Jordan wasn't there. But I believe the Houston Rockets never actually won against the... The Houston Rockets never lost against the Chicago Bulls. I think they beat them every time after the Rockets won the two championships. And also, he achieved a quadruple-double, which has only been achieved four or five times. Which just shows he can do it all. And especially with assists as well. From the post, he's got a million post moves. I bet he's still got post moves he never actually showed us. And he's my favourite player, so.
Fair enough. Okay, right. Shooting down. Do you want to shoot down first?
Yeah. He's very limited, Kareem, with the skyhook. It's amazing. I know it goes in pretty much all the time. I know. But because it's that one thing that he does, it's sort of, mainly my point would be, because Hakeem's got so much he can do, and Kareem's quite limited what he can do, but I suppose getting the most amount of points ever, you know, if it works, carry on doing it, kind of mentality. And the fact he did win championships, but it was with, the only time really was with the Bucks, and he still had good players around him then. And when he was at the Lakers, he did have Magic Johnson, James Worthy, and a lot of great players. Where Hakeem, he had
Vernon Maxwell, Kenny Smith.
Yeah, it's not exactly the best player, but they are three-pointers, I'll say that. So that does open up for him to pass to them.
They didn't have that back then, the crew. Well, Hakeem won an MVP in a very, very oversaturated era. But Kareem won MVP 14 years apart. One in 85. No, his finals MVP, sorry. One in 85, one in 71. He won six regular MVPs all during the 70s and once in the 80s. And Magic and Bird was playing in the 80s, in 1980.
Down in the rookie seasons.
They're still pretty good players back then. I mean, it's difficult to knock Hakeem, although if you're going to draft them, you were saying about him having an unstoppable move, and he's limited, but you want that limitation on your team because he does it all the time and he's very good. Hakeem, before he became Hakeem, and he was Hakeem, he went on strike, he pretended he was injured so he didn't play, and he slapped Vernon Maxwell, his teammate, across the face in the training room.
Yeah, well, if you're spitting on the floor.
Yeah, spitting on the floor, having no class, as yes. Hakeem said. But, so there was that trouble early on in his career. Obviously, later on, he's an amazing player. These are both amazing players. But when you got a 6-time champ, 19-time All-Star, leading the points, rebounds, blocks, you've got to go Kareem if I was drafting out of the two.
But the same thing you're saying there about slapping him and going on strike, he wants to win. And he was at a Houston team that weren't doing it to suit him. And then he eventually did become a team player. And when he does lift the MVP trophy, he says, it's as much as my team as it is mine. So he can share.
Absolutely. He learned that over a few years, though. Kareem was winning his whole career. So.
Cop out, but I'm going to give it to Alan, because 1 point was Hakeem in Airplane.
Hakeem was in Airplane, he was. I should have brought that up first, that was my best. 19-time All-Star, well, you're in Airplane. Oh, you're in Airplane, Kareem. We've got to
Roger, huh?
I think Joe should be for me failing to bring up that point. I enjoyed that. I think we'll do that another time. Maybe we'll do a different game a different other time.
Change out sometimes.
Any additional things you want to add before we wrap up?
There has been a few trades, not big ones really. Plumlee to Portland, and Hardaway's gone to, I don't know where he's gone.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite good. But I said to Alan earlier, maybe we said last time about Ellis going to Atlanta, maybe Hardaway going there. I know he's not as good a player, but that could be maybe that might affect that.
Well, it looks like my idea was out the window. Plumlee going to Portland, maybe that might be a Rolo replacement, but maybe that gets rid of the idea of... I think Greg Monroe should have went to Portland, but I don't think that's happening now. Anything you want to add, Sam?
Nope, I'm happy.
Favourite dunks of all time?
Favourite dunks.
You did mention that.
As a Boston fan, it's going to be pretty sad to say this, but they're both from Dwayne Wade.
Oh! You're killing me.
Dwayne Wade on Perkins and Dwayne Wade on Varejao. Mainly on the Varejao, it was the whole sequence that led up to it. The Jermaine O'Neal block on LeBron, then the Varejao poster.
Yeah, very, very good. I've got to admit, even I was a bit...
And you hate it.
Oh! Yeah. Flash. Favourite dunk, Joe? Give me one.
It's got to be Dr. J on Michael Cooper. He doesn't even try Cooper. He ducks under. He rocks the baby. He cocks it back and he smashes it in. What a dunk.
Even Michael Cooper knew that was a good dunk. Then two are very iconic, still very good dunks. My one doesn't really get much recognition, but I think it's just so skillful, and from a player who I'm not a massive fan of. But Kobe Bryant's dunk, Kobe Bryant's dunk on the Denver Nuggets. Just the way he wraps it around the back and then does a spin the other way and then dunks it over the player. Very, very impressive. I mean, when you say dunks in general, you think of the Vince Carter dunk contest or when he dunks it in Team USA and all that kind of stuff. Yep. But I wasn't expecting it. He was just going up. I thought he'd do like a Euro step and a layup or something. Then that came out of the blue and I was just so surprised. It's one of my favourite dunks.
Yeah, good dunks.
I think we're all good for today then.
Yep.
Okay, thank you for joining us. We had a little chat about a lot of different things. Next episode, I want to talk about Coach Blatt and LeBron. And Coach LeBron. LeBron. And the problems there. I've been wanting to get that off my chest for a while.
Yeah, this episode because of the draft, not much chance.
The draft special.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Thank you for joining us, and we'll have an episode soon. Cheers, guys.
See ya.